Real quick.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Singer, for giving us the opportunity to say a short cheer. And this is the first year in this building, and while it's really a beautiful building, and the kol should be zoche to lahagro Torah ladira, spreading the words of Torah. I'd like to talk about Machias HaMalek, the Haftarah Parsha Zachar, like Rabbi Singer mentioned, with the focus on you really got to kill every single Amaleki. But we're going to try to go through, at least superficially, the actual story of the Shoal and Machias HaMalek, and then concentrate on who they actually have to Mekayim the Mitzvah Machias HaMalek on. So the Pasuk in Kapitel Tesvav in Shmuel Aleph, there's a prelude. If you're Sephardim, you do say it, and when you learn the Haftarah, and if you're Ashkenazi, they skip it. Shmuel says, tells Shaul, Osi Shalach Hashem Shachoch Lamelech. Hashem has sent me to anoint you as the king, Alamo Yisrael, and then now Atashmal Lekol Divrei Hashem. That's the prelude, the introduction. Komar Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Pokadeti Esas Sher Osso Amalek Yisrael. I remember what Amalek did to Yisrael, and that they ambushed the Jews when they went out of Mitzrayim. The reason of the prelude, as we'll see, the mitzvah Mechias Amalek is totally in Melech. Chazal say that there are three mitzvahs that one follows the other. The first mitzvah is Limnos Lehem Melech, which was Shol. Second mitzvah, once you have a Melech, is Limchos Es Amalek. And the third mitzvah after that is to build the Beis Hamikdash. So Shmuel was telling Shol, I appointed you as the Melech, and part two is go ahead and kill out Amalek. And Shmuel is very specific. He says, Ata Lech V'Kiso Es Amalek, the Chratim Es Kol HaShol, you should destroy everything that they have. V'lo Sach Malolav, destroy everything, don't have any Rachmanes. V'Himata, and you should kill Me'ish Ad Isha, men, women, Ma'olo, Vadyonek, infants, children, Mishor, Vatzeh, the animals, Megomo, Vad Chamor. So first of all, we have to mavar, is this really the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek? The Torah says, Machu Timcha Es Zecher Amalek. You should destroy, you should obliterate the remembrance of Amalek. Doesn't say specifically anything about the animals, and that seems to be a Machlokus Rishonim. Rashi and Chumash, Ibn Ezra, learn that the animals of Amalek are part of Zecher Amalek. Anything that will remind you, this was owned by an Amalek. It's not just the people, of course, will remind you of Amalek, but anything that has a remembrance of Amalek, including their animals, that's part of the mitzvah deraisa of Mechias Amalek. You might not necessarily have thought of that from learning the Chumash, but from Shoal and Shmuel, that tells me that's what the Torah is talking about. Timche Es Zecher Amalek. That's how Rashi learns the Chumash, the Ibn Ezra. Rashi here, which we'll elaborate on, Rashi comes up with an interesting shot, and Rashi seems to contradict what he says in Chumash. Rashi says there was a reason why at this juncture of time that Shmuel told Shaul get rid of the animals as well. And he says because the Amalekim knew Kishuf, they knew the arts of black magic, and they were able to hide their identity by turning themselves to look, at least an outside, like animals. And probably inside there were always animals, but this way they're able to make themselves on the outside look like animals, and they would escape being killed out. So therefore, Shmuel told Shaul, kill out all the animals as well. So Rashi here does not seem to be learning that, well, you got to kill the animals because of Timcha Zecher Amalek, the animals are a Zecher for Amalek. It seems that this is, now it doesn't necessarily mean this was, you can still look at it, Rashi, here two ways. You can learn it as Harosha, which meaning the Torah's mitzvah does not really include this, but because Shmuel knew that at this time, the Amalekim knew Kishuv, therefore at this particular time, Shmuel said kill out the animals as well. Or it could be that this was always the mitzvah of the Torah, but not because of the Zecher Amalek. It's because these animals might actually be people, and therefore you have to kill them out. Okay, but Rashi Al-Kapanim in Shmuel does not fit with Rashi in Chumash. Now the Rambam, not in Yad HaChazaka, nor in Sefer HaMitzvahs, does not say anything about a chiyuv to kill out the animals. So obviously the Rambam holds that this what Shmuel told Shaul was harosha, a temporary thing at this particular time and at this particular time only. But the mitzvah Mechias Amalek is just the people. Now, if you hold like Rashi and Chumash and the Eben Ezra that the mitzvah of Timcha is Zecher Molech, anything that reminds you of a Molech, but I would think, and by the way, the Mechilta says that Mefurish also, that the Zecher Molech, anything that will remind you, but the Pashup Shad is, it's only the animals, right? It doesn't say anything about their houses, their trees. I mean, that's not enumerated here in the Pasuk and Shmuel. So I would say the Zecher Molech is only the people, and anything that will remind you is the animals, but not their properties, meaning their houses, their trees. However, there is a Chazal in Medrash, and the Chazal say that Timcha Zecher Amalek, that you shouldn't remember, I know this tree. This tree used to belong to an Amaleki. So that Chazal are learning that you have to destroy even the inanimate objects. Maybe that's included in the pasuk. It said the chratam is kol asher lo, maybe. But at least, certainly the Rambam doesn't bring anything about it, and even Rashi, I would say, wouldn't necessarily hold that. The Rabbeinu Bechaya points out that with Haman, with the story with Ubat Biza lo shalchu es yodam, that they made such a big deal to make sure that they don't take the Biza, the booty from Amalek, because Mordechai remembered my Zayde Shol, he didn't do what he had to do, and that brought a tragedy to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, he says, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, they were careful when it came to destroy Amalek that was attacking them in time of Achashverosh. They made sure not to take anything, not the animals, not the inanimate objects. How did he take Beis Shol Haman? They talk about it. It probably was the official residence that belonged to the king anyway. It probably didn't belong to Haman. But Al Kaponim, that's how Rabbeinu Bechaya learns that yes, that all the property of Amalek is also Aser Bando, and it has to be destroyed as well. Now the pasuk continues, and the pasuk says, Shaul get the army together, quite an impressive army. Vayava Shaul out of Ir HaMolech, he travels with his army to Ir HaMolech, Vayorev Benachal, and he literally means, Vayorev means he starts the battle of Benachal in the valley right outside of the city. Chazal Darshan, Vayorev Benachal, Yorev is like he was debating it among himself. Within himself, this doesn't sound right. You know, I mean, okay, if I got to kill the men, they're bad, okay, but how about the children? How about the infants? And, and the animals, what did they sin? So that's the Vayorev Benachal, that he quarreled within himself, am I really doing the right thing? And the Basko went out and said, Al tiyeh tzadik harbe. You know, if the Eibershit tells you this is the mitzvah in the Torah, this is what Hashem wants, Hashem knows what he's doing. And don't be too prim and go and think to double guess what the Rebbe Shalom wants. Now, even though he made this Kal V'chomer, and the Kal V'chomer was based on the parsha of Egla Rufa. He says, Egla Rufa, and then the parsha Shoftim, that if you find somebody who was killed, and you don't know who killed him, so you have to bring a whole, it's not exactly a carbon, but you bring this Egla, you chop its head off, and whatever, it's a chok in the Torah. But just for one Jew who got killed, and you do this here when you're talking about thousands of who knows how many people that you're going to have to kill for no real reason, certainly not right. Now, this Kal V'chomer is very strange. The Sefer Ikrim actually calls it a Kal V'chomer Shel Shtus. It's a stupid Kal V'chomer. Meaning that, number one, Egla Rufa is only with the Yid. If you find a Goy that was killed in the street, you certainly don't bring an Egla Rufa. And the main thing is, if Hashem tells you to do it, then you can't ask in the Kal V'chomer to go ahead and say, well, it's not right. If Hashem tells you to do it, then it is right. So there is a pshat from the Iyun Yaakov, that's the Shvus Yaakov, one of the earlier Achronim, one of the Pirshon that Iyun Yaakov. He says, we find there's something called like Hutra and Dechuya, meaning, for example, on Shabbos, for a Chol Sheish Pasakon, certainly you Mechal Shabbos. So it's a Machlokes Rishonim. Is it Hutra? Is it considered like you did the thing on Sunday? There's no Malacha involved at all. It's not even, or it's Dechuya. The Torah pushes away Shabbos, but you are being Mechal Shabbos, Behater, but it's still Dechuya. So Shaul looked at it, of course I'm going to do it, and he did do it. Even though he darshened this Kal V'chomer, he went ahead and did it anyway. It's not like he didn't kill the people out. But he said, look, I'm doing something which be'etzim is not really proper, but Hashem says to do it, so it's Dechuya. It pushes away the Isser of Shfichas Damim, and of course I'm going to listen. I'm going to do it, but it's still a type of kind of chet, and therefore I should bring a carbon kapara on it. And that's why, as we'll see, they didn't kill out the animals. They wanted to bring a carbon. Why all of a sudden they want to bring a carbon? Look, we're killing, we're becoming cruel, and that, yes, of course we're going to listen, but we're going to bring a kapara because we're pushing away t'chuya, the isra of ritzicha, mutter, but it's t'chuya, so it's sparked something, and we need to bring a carbon to do a kapara. And that, of course, is wrong. If Hashem tells you to do it, you know, it's certainly not t'chuya, he's certainly not going to do tshuva and bring a kapara, bring a carbon as a kapara. But that was Shaul's chesed. Please, if you don't mind, I'd rather prefer if you talk to me afterwards because I want to try. I'm sorry if you don't mind. So it says that Shaul attacked Amalek, Mechavila, Boach, Ashur, Asher, Pnei Mitzrayim. There was a bunch of cities. Amalek wasn't just in one city, and he attacked all of them. And it says he captured the king of Amalek, Agag, alive. But everybody else, he killed every single person, right? This Kal v'chomer Darshan, that is not fair, and, you know, that was just in theory. Umais, of course, he did what he was told to do. So he captured Agag, and so he did, and killed all the people. Vayachmol Shol v'om, and Shol and the om had Rachmanis al Agag. Okay, he was in captivity, but all that good sheep, you know, thousands of sheep, Meita Batzon v'Bokar, that it's a real waste to go ahead and destroy them. They decided we'll bring them for a carbon. But everything else, the thing that wasn't valuable, or all the people, they killed that. So Shmuel gets a nevuah from Hashem. He said, I'm sorry, I changed my mind that I appointed Shaul to be the melech. He didn't listen to what I said, so Shmuel goes to meet him. And it's a very strange conversation. Again, we don't really have the time too much to get into it that much, but I just want to point out the difficulties that Shmuel sees. Shaul's very happy, and he says, you know, I did a good job, no? And he said, no, you didn't do a good job. He said, what do you mean you did a good Shmuel? Shmuel said, Shaul, what do you mean you tell me you did a good job? What's all the sheep that I'm hearing? What are all these cattle doing here? So Shaul says, yeah, you know, very, no problem. We brought it to bring a carbon. Leman zvoach Hashem Elokecha. And everything else. I said, no, sir, chramnu. So Shaul seems, I did everything right. Shmuel tells him, listen, I want to tell you I had a nevuah from Hashem, and I appointed you to be a melech. And now he paraphrases what the mitzvah was, and that's what we're going to focus on a little later. He says, Shmuel is talking to Shaul, but Yishlochecha Hashem b'darach, Hashem sent you on the way, v'yomer leich v'chramto, you should go ahead and destroy, eshechatoyim esamolik. So use the word cherim to destroy, eshechatoyim esamolik. Here he doesn't mention the men, women, children. He says, oh, let's kill the sinners of Amalek, and ad kalosam asam, so you actually get rid of them all. And why didn't you listen? This is Shmuel, the Navi, who's the one who told him to do this in the first place. And he's saying, well, you didn't do what I told you. And it's, the Pella is that Shaul responds, Vayomer Shaul al Shmuel, Asher Shamati b'kol Hashem. I did listen to Hashem. And I went the way Hashem told me. Agag, I brought Agag, meaning Agag wasn't let out free. So it's not like he let him escape. He's in captivity. He could be killed today. He could be killed tomorrow. Doesn't make a difference. Who cares? You know, like so Agag I have. And I killed, and the animals, you know, we're going to use them for carbon. So what's the big deal? So twice Shaul says, I did the right thing, and Shmuel responded, well, you didn't. And Shmuel says, look, Hashem is not interested in carbonus. Hashem likes when people listen. And then finally Shaul gets and he said, I made a mistake. Chotosi, kiovartis, pi Hashem esbarecha. I didn't listen to what Hashem said. And so, you know, tshuva helps, it's good, certainly. But he had an excuse. Yeah, I did it, but kiyoresi esom veshma bekolom. You know, I was under pressure. And under pressure, I was afraid of the people. The people didn't want to destroy it, so I buckled. So he says, forgive me, and come with me, and we'll bow to Hashem. And Shmuel says, I really don't want anything to do with you. I'm angry. Hashem is angry. And Hashem will not change his mind. It's final. So he says, Shaul says, okay, again, chotosi, but give me the honor and the respect that you should come with me, that we should bow down to Hashem. And that, you know, it's a design for it. It'll be an insult to me if he just abandoned me. So it's, yeah, so the first he said he had an excuse, because I buckled under pressure. Now he's saying, okay, I'm sorry, then, but please, you know, it's my covet, it's my honor that's at stake, so come with me. And Shmuel did listen, and they went down. And the end of the story goes that Shmuel says, bring me Agag. And he brings Agag, and he says, Shmuel says, Shmuel himself, you know, Shmuel, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Navi, probably a long white beard, he didn't get somebody else to do it, he himself killed him, into sectioned him into many people, and that was the end of it, and Agag was killed. So that's how the end of the story goes. What was Shaul thinking? We don't really have that much time to get into it. There is a pshat from Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal. He says, the pasuk says you should destroy the chramta, everything, the animals. Now, a chramta, you know, it doesn't say shoot them. A chramta means to destroy them. When you shef the carbon, the animal is a chramta, it gets destroyed. In fact, he uses the word cherem in the Torah, called cherem Yisrael Chayyeh. The word cherem is used with carbonis. So Shaul at least made a mistake. Of course it was a mistake, but it wasn't such a maratzadik mistake. Maybe Rav Aaron says he asked his local rabbi Doeg, who was a big Russian, one of the people in El Chilikol Mabah. But Shaul said, and Doeg told him, that, okay, if you bring carbonis, you are being mekayim v'hechramta. The animals will get killed. But obviously it's a loophole. This is not what Hashem wanted. And I guess Shaul Silver realized this is not what Hashem wanted. And Mele, he got punished for it. Because, yeah, you could probably find a way out of a lot of things, but you got to do what is Hashem's Rasa. Hashem's Rasa was not to go ahead and bring Kabbalahs. Okay, that's how the story goes. And the Pashup shot, and so that was why Shaul kept saying, I did the right thing. Shagag is in captivity. I mean, he'll get killed. Everybody else, all the people, every single one to A to Z, I killed. And the animals, they'll get killed eventually anyway, out of the carbon. So that was his cheshbon and what he kept on saying. So it didn't help him, the tshuva. It wasn't done for a good reason. It was for covet, it was for pressure, he had excuses. So Hashem did not accept the tshuva. We don't have the time to get into, but Chazal point out the discrepancy. I mean, David also did a chet with the story of Bathsheba and Uriah. I mean, it wasn't the chet of Eish HaSish, Chazal says, Kolomer, David, Chot, and El Toa. It means it wasn't the chet. But there was some Lefi Madrigo, so David Melf, it was a chet. And David did not lose his malchus. And Shaul did. Like, Shaul did basically one thing wrong with Agag, and he lost his malchus. David did two things wrong, Chazal say, when he counted the Jews, and also the story with Uriah, with getting Bathsheba's husband killed. He did two things, and he got away with it, you know, so to speak. I guess that's not the right phrase to use. But he did not lose his malchus. So all the Mefarshim talk about what is the difference. And the Ikrim explains that David's chet of whatever, Chil Hashem, I mean, whatever you want to call it, not Eish HaSish, but whatever it was, is a chet that's a private person with a private mitzvah. It happens to be that David was the melech. But Shaul, his chet was a chet, it's the melech's job to kill Amalek. That's why Shmuel sent Shaul to do it. He didn't send somebody else to do it. Because like I started off saying, there's three mitzvahs. First comes Minui Melech, and it's the melech's responsibility. So as melech, this was his job to go ahead and do Amalek. When he didn't do what he did, he messed up in the what he's supposed to do as a melech. So then his punishment is that he loses being a melech. He loses his malchus. That's basically what the Ikrim says. And also he says that tshuva requires you're sincere and you're not doing it for an ulterior motive and you're really and Shaul didn't have that. So that's how the Ikrim learns why David did not lose his malchus and Shaul did. And the truth is, if we look at it, he explains the Ikrim that Shaul was missing the qualifications of a melech. In other words, a melech he lists all the things that David had and Shaul did not. So that's why you have to do tshuva. You could do tshuva, you're sorry, Hashem could forgive you. But if you're not Roy, you're not cut out to be the king because based on your performance, you didn't do what a king is supposed to do. You're not cut out to be the king, so it doesn't help you do tshuva. So he lost his malchus. Okay, so that's I don't want to just digress, and I certainly don't want to talk about politics, but one of the Rosh Yeshivas of the big yeshiva, not near Israel, and I guess there are other yeshivas in America, but was asked a question, and again, I don't want to really discuss politics, about when in the last election should he vote for which candidate, and his psak was that it depends what the candidate did wrong. But neither one was a very good candidate, but if one candidate did something in his private life as a chet, versus someone did something as part of their government job, then that's the exact what the Ikrim is saying, the difference between Shaul and David. David didn't lose his malchus because whatever the chet was a private chet. But Shaul, who did a chet that involved the malucha, then, okay, so that was the psak of, anyway, so that's basically the story of Shaul and what happened with Amalek. Now, I want to concentrate on, we still have some time, 20-25 minutes, of what I said as the story is, and that's a simple Pashut reading of the story, that Shaul killed out every single Amaleki, every person of Amalek, except for Agag, who was killed the next day by Shmuel. I mean, that is certainly the simple reading of the text. And so where does Haman come from? Where does Amalek come from? So there's a chazal that it says that that night when Shaul was in captivity, when Agag was in captivity, he lived with a shivcha, she became Uberis, and that's where Haman, and that's how Amalek rejuvenated itself. Fine. So, but this seems to be that he actually did kill, and over the years later, they turned back into a vibrant nation. That's impossible. In other words, even though this, yes, that's what the text seems to say, it just can't be. It's just impossible. How do I know? Now, this is in the middle kapitel Tetzvav of Shmuel Aleph. The end of Shmuel Aleph, when Shaul is still living, and the Pasuk says Shaul was the Melech for 2 years. Not all the Rishonim learned that literally. I mean, Chazal seemed to assume that he means he was a king for just literally two years. But let's see. When Shaul was still living, the Pasuk says that this Amalek went ahead and attacked a Jewish city called Ziklag. And David, when he heard about it, he had his band of people, and he repulsed them, he got rid of Amalek, and returned all the property to the people of Ziklag. This is at the end of Shmuel Aleph, when Shaul HaMelech was still alive. Now, where did all these Amalekim come from? If there's, I mean, this little baby, I mean, how prolific he could be in 2 years, and even if Shaul would be a king for 20 years, 30 years, you're not going to be able to turn from this one remnant of Amalek to be able to turn into a whole band of an army or a band of people that could go ahead and attack a whole city. So, where did they come from? So, that's the problem. So the first reaction you would say is, okay, well, Shaul, while he was neglecting his task, the people were going after the animals, so he was negligent. He really didn't do such a good job killing out Amalek, and a lot of Amalekim escaped, and that's where these Amalekim come from. I've seen somebody who has said this pshat. I don't think it's really a good pshat, because then Shmuel would be given a mussar, and Shmuel tells them, you know, how come you didn't kill the animals? If the animals are not, killing the animals is not as important as killing the people, so I would think Shmuel would tell him, hey, you didn't kill the people. He doesn't say a word about the people. So it seems that Shaul actually did kill everybody. If they escaped while he was neglecting his mission, then Shmuel certainly would have mentioned it to him. So it would seem that he did what he had to do, and he killed all the people. So we're back to the problem, where did these Amalekim come from? Now, you could say a pshat, I don't particularly like it, but the Rishonim do say it, not here. They say that we're not going to get it. There's a Mishnah in Yodayim, it talks about Ger Amoni came to Ramalil, Rabbi Yeshua. So the question is, Amon Moav went into Golis, and the question is, yet the Pasuk mentions that there was Amon Moav around in their location. So the Rish, once brings down a pshat that he says that, yes, Ammon and Moab were exiled from their lands, but other people came in. You know, when there's a vacuum, there's nobody there. So other people came in, you know, people from, Japanese. I mean, other people came in. And those people, because they lived in the land of Ammon and Moab, the Pasuk calls them Ammon and Moab, even though biologically they were not from the nation of Ammon and Moab. So the Rash does bring down such a pshat. He doesn't like the pshat over there. He says it doesn't fit with something. But I think that his objection wouldn't be a problem here. So I guess you could learn, based on those who are shown him, that when the Pasuk says Amalek attacked Ziklag, it really wasn't the Amalek. It was the the people that moved into the vacuum after Saul got rid of Amalek, and the pasuk calls them Amalekim because they're living in the land of Amalek. I guess that's possible. Okay. But so that's, so the first possibility that maybe Saul didn't do a good job, I don't think is a very good shot. Second shot again, I don't know, if the Rishonim say it there, maybe you could say it here, but I'm not so sure that's a great shot either, that Amalek really wasn't Amalek. Okay. Now, there's a very simple pshat based on the Rashi we started off with. Rashi, that we mentioned the stira, the contradiction between Rashi and Chumash and Rashi and Novi, why you have to get rid of the animals, right? Tarta said, Timchaz Dech Ramalek, how come all of a sudden Shmuel was telling Shol, go ahead and kill the animals. So Rashi and Chumash said, because they're Zecher Amalek. They're any animal that was once owned by Amalek, when you see the animal, say, oh yeah, this animal belonged to Amalek, to Amalekim, so therefore it's a Zecher Amalek. Fine. But Rashi here in Shmuel rejects that pshat. Rashi learns that as far as Zecher Amalek, that just means the people. The reason why the Torah said, go ahead and kill the animals is because Amalekim knew the arts of Kishuv, black magic, and they would be able to turn themselves into people, into animals, and they would escape detection, and therefore Shmuel told them, Hashem told them, go ahead and kill out every single animal, and that's the way that they won't be able to escape. And they didn't do that, right? Klal Yisrael killed most of the animals, but they kept a lot of the animals corralled to use down the line as a carpet. Now, according to Rashi's pshat, okay, so there were a lot of these hundreds or whatever of animals that weren't really animals, they were really people, they were Amalekim, and as soon as no one's looking, whatever, they turned themselves back into people and they escaped. Okay, if you learn like Rashi and Shmuel, okay, then obviously it's a very simple answer to our question, that where did these Amalekim come from? They came from these so-called animals who were really people. Okay, I mean, obviously, Rashi's pshat and Shmuel is a chiddushik pshat to say that that's the reason because of Kishuv. But if you're going to learn like that, fine, you have no problem. But if, let's say, Rashi and Chumash, and if you don't learn like Rashi and Novi, we're back to the kasha, that did Shmuel do and kill every person, so where did all these Amalekim come later on in the time of Tziklok, in the end of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Okay, so that's three pshatim. So L'chora, we could say a pshat, which Pashus is definitely not correct. There's an interesting halacha. The halacha, so we'll do a little bit of Hilchos Mulchomo. That the halacha says, it says, Hashem told after Midian and then a Sefer Bamidbar, when Midian got involved with the mice of Bilam and the cause of Nusin Klai, so Hashem said, throw out the Midianim, go kill out the Midianim. And it says that Moshe did like Hashem commanded. So there's the Ribui in the Pasuk, Hashem, it's Moshe, so Chazal Darsh, and the Sefri, and the Rambam brings it down, that when you attack a city, you leave one side open. What's the logic for that? Why? So the Ramban says it's not because we're interested about the Goyim. The Goyim, we're out to kill them, we're out to punish them. Why do we leave one side open? Very simply, he says, because if they're surrounded completely, they're going to fight like caged animals. And therefore, it'll be more sakana for Klal Yisrael. So Hashem says, see what Hashem is most, when they go attack Midian, go ahead and leave one side open. So they'll escape and they won't, okay. So L'chora, you could say the same thing here. The Shol did the right thing, because if this is the halacha, that in any melchama you leave one side open, okay, so they escaped. You're not going to fault them for that. That's the din. And they escaped, and that's how they regrouped and attacked Ziklag. Okay, that would be a simple answer, but it's really not right, according to most Mefarshim. The Radvaz on the Rambam, the Chinuch, the Ramban, they say that's only Mechemes Rishus. When you fight an optional war, like we're going to talk about Mechemes Rishus, so when it's not Zayin Umos, it's not Amalek. When it's an optional war, you leave one side open, because then it's less danger for the Jews fighting it. But if you're fighting Zayin Umos, when it turns to Los Chayek on the Shama, when you're fighting Amalek, when it says Melchotim Chazekh Amalek, it doesn't make any sense to leave one side open, and then you'll never get rid of them. It'll always... So Pashtus, there is... this has nothing to do with us, just leaving one side open. because here we're talking about Amalek, we're talking about Mechames Mitzvah, and of course you don't leave any side open. The Minchas Chinuch questions that, he wants to medai from the Rambam, not that way. He wants to say that even Mechames Mitzvah, you would leave one side open, and his raya is, I mean, we're talking about Mechames Midyan, where Hashem told Moshe to go Tzoras HaMidyanim, Kilat HaMidyanim. That's a Mechames Mitzvah. Maybe it's not a mitzvah that lasts forever, it's only a mitzvah l'shah, but it is a Mechames Mitzvah, it's not an optional one, and yet the Torah says leave one side open. There's a very simple answer, which I'll get to in a second, that I don't think the Minchas Chinuch Kash is a Kash. Now, but Pashtus, again, this idea of leaving one side open is a din only Mechames Rishus, so it has nothing to do with us, with Amalek. However, there is a Chinuch, and the Chinuch, though, is not talking about Amalek, he's talking about Zayin Umos. And we'll see that there's going to be a difference. That the Chinuch says there is still a din about not locking, surrounding, meaning, yes, in the Mechamet in Zayin Umos. When Yeshua went to attack a city, he surrounded completely, all four sides, but edits of Yerushalmi, that it says Yeshua sent three letters out to the Goyim. And I always thought, you know, I didn't know, this chat is like, you know, it's like a figure of speech, but Yeshua says, he says, you want to fight? Let's fight. You want to make shalom? You could make shalom. We'll talk about making shalom soon. And if you want to escape, you could escape. You know, so like I said, I would have thought that this is just like a political speech as far as escaping. The Chinuch says, no, the pshat in that Yerushalmi is that you have to give them the option before you start the war. Once you start the war, and you do it till they're all gone. But before you start the war, yes, you do surround all four, but before you actually start, you want to escape, escape. But the Chinuch only says that with Zayin Umos. He doesn't say it with Amalek, and there's a very basic difference. Even though they're both, it says Oschaik on the Shamot, Tim Kazekar Amalek, but there's a big difference. The Zayin Umos, the Gemara says in Sota, at least one time, I think it might be Machlokas, that if the Zayin Umos leave Eretz Yisrael, fine, goodbye, good riddance, and we don't really care. They're not here, they're not going to teach us their bad ways. Amalek, obviously, is not that way. Amalek is, you have to get rid of every single Amalek anywhere in the world, in the four corners of the world. So even if the Chinuch says that Mechames Mitzvah, you let them escape before the war starts, but that's only Mechames Zayin Umos. But the Mechama of Amalek, the Chinuch is not going to say that you let them escape. Obviously, you have to kill them all out. And I think with this Chilik is, you know, with the Minchas Chinuch's Raya, with Mechames Midyan, well, what did the Minchas Chinuch say? Well, Mechames Midyan is a Mechames Mitzvah, and still you leave one whole side open. But Mechames Midyan isn't even like the Mechama of Zayin Umos. Zayin Umos is Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. So, yeah, then you got to surround all four sides. But Midyan was to punish them. It wasn't to wipe them off the face of the world. So then, then it makes sense. You leave one side open. If they survive, okay, they've survived. But you're not going to say that with Zayin Umos. So I don't think the Minchas Chinuch scratch the conscience. Similarly, you're not going to say with Amalek, where you have to wipe them off the face of the world, anywhere in the world. Okay. So Al Kapanim, we're back to our Kasha. Where did all these Amalekim come from? So we started the first one to say, well, Shaul didn't do a good job. Maybe second side, it's not really Amalekim. The third shot we wanted to say that you leave one side open, but that Lamaise is probably not true with Mechames Mitzvah, any Mechames Mitzvah, and certainly not with Mechames Amalek. You do not leave any sides open. You don't give them an option to escape either. So again, the problem, if Shaul did the right thing, he wasn't criticized for what he did, where did all these Amalekim come from? Okay. So I think there is a very simple pshat, at least according to some Rishonim, the Rambam. And this gets us to the point, who exactly do you have to kill in Amalek? Is it every single Amaleki, or maybe not? Now, first of all, if the Amaleki wants to become a Ger Tzedek, that is a Beferish Rambam, even though it's also a Kiddush, because the Mechilta says different, it seems the Mechilta says different. The Rambam says any person who wants to become a convert, a real Ger Tzedek, in that he will keep Taryag Mitzvahs, you take from any nation. Meaning, even an Amaleki comes who wants to become a Ger Tzedek, we accept him. There's no killing, there's nothing to care, there's a mitzvah to be Mekabel Gerim. That's what the Rambam says. The Mechilta doesn't seem to say that. The Mechilta says in the part, I guess it's in Beshalach, that Nishva Kodesh Baruch, that Mekol Umos Olam will take Gerim, but not from Amalek. Okay, for whatever the Rambam has rights, he doesn't pass like that. So Pasha is a Ger Tzedek, a real convert, a Ger Tzedek that's going to become a full-fledged Yid. Even with Amalekim, you do accept him. That's what Rambam says. So let's say Pasha. But how about we know there's a different type of ger? That's called a ger toshav, and we'll see what that is in a second. A ger toshav is someone who basically keeps Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and that's it. And so he's not Jewish, he's still a guy. So what exactly is that matzav? And that involves us in the parsha, in the end of Shoftim, in the end of Shoftim. The pasuk says, "Ki sikra v'lir lilochim alel." When you're out in battle and you go near a city, you want to attack it. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, the koros elel l'shalom. There's a mitzvah. Go ahead and call, offer them peace. And if they accept the peace, they open up. All the people will serve you a mas v'abducha. That means it's mas, it's taxation. Abdus means manual work for you. And the Rishonim say, the Ramban, the Rambam, they also have to be Mekabel, the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. We're not interested in getting them to be Jewish, but the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, the Zorah, Gilui Arayas, Ritzicha, Birchus Hashem, the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, they have to accept it on themselves. So then, and if they do agree to that, you don't kill a soul. Then the Pasuk says, Bim lo sashlim imach, and what if they want to fight? And then Vasim Khamakama, the Tsatala, then you continue the battle, you do the battle, and when you win the battle, you kill Kol Zakhorcha, you kill all the adult males by the sword, Rak Hanashim, but the women, Vataf, the children, the kids, whatever the age is, the males of them, and the Behema, now you don't kill them. Fine. That's part one of this parsha. Then the pasuk says, "Kein tasa l'chol arim erchokas mukhamo." This is the procedure. What you do, you go to a nation that's far away from Eretz Yisrael, meaning not Zayin Umos. You're attacking somewhere outside of the gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. This is what you do. Shalom or egoyim eleina. That they're not part of the Zayin Umos. This is the procedure. But rak meori ha'ani mo'elah asher Hashem l'kachon osin l'chol nachla. But if the nations you're fighting are from the Zayin Umos, Lo